This morning, I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, we'll first read verses 5 through 24, which kind of gives us the backstory for Zechariah's song, which we'll find in verses 56 through 80. So Luke chapter 1. Before we turn our attention to God's word, however, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, it's our prayer that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. Let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking his word to us. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah, of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife, the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months, she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." And now we turn over to verse 57. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed. And he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about throughout the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be?" For the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. The grass withers and the flowers fall, and the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, in the Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis paints a pretty bleak and dark picture. Mr. Tumnus explains, "It is winter in Narnia, and it has been for ever so long. Always winter and never Christmas. Think of that." Now for us, winter is already long enough. And so the scene that C.S. Lewis paints in the Chronicles of Narnia is very bleak and very depressing. Always winter, never Christmas. And that's similar to the scene that we are given biblically before the arrival of Jesus Christ. But instead of it always being winter, it was always darkness. The Bible describes the time before Jesus' birth as always darkness, never light, a very bleak and depressing situation. It's been dark for a long time, but there is hope. Isaiah 9 verse 2, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Now this time of year especially, we wake up and it's still dark. But as you watch the sun come up, first everything starts to get a little bit brighter and clearer. It's dawn. It's that moment right before the sun comes up over the horizon. And Malachi 4 describes Jesus' arrival like a sunrise. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. It's talking about that sunrise across the entire horizon. Now we see the darkness and the brokenness of the sin-filled world around us. We turn on the news or we open up a newspaper and it's shootings and murders and injustice and corrupt politicians and refugees and martyrs and terrorist attacks, and the list can go on and on and on. And our problem is that it's not just that we live in a broken world and that brokenness sometimes finds its way into our door, but behind that reality is the much deeper problem that we are also broken and we add to this brokenness and this darkness. And so what's the answer? What's the answer to the brokenness and the darkness that we see? People walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Christ is the answer. He is the light of the world, the answer to the darkness of sin. And in our passage this morning, things are starting to become brighter. It's dawn. The sun is about to come up. And Zechariah has gone through some major changes over the past 9 months. Elizabeth has changed physically, and Zechariah has changed spiritually, going from doubting to believing. And now Zechariah, as we look at his song, he is responding in faith, praising God for God's work of salvation. And that's our response as well. Blessed be the Lord. That's what we'll be looking at first of all. Secondly, he has redeemed his people. And third and finally, the sunrise shall visit us. And so first, blessed be the Lord. Zechariah's song is a song of praise to the Lord for who he is and what he has done. This song has traditionally been called the Benedictus, and that's because of the first word in the son, or the first word in the song. It's a benediction, a blessing. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. You can think about our benediction at the end of the service, which is a blessing, and here Zechariah is blessing and praising the Lord for bringing Christ, the sunrise of the Messiah, the birth of Jesus Christ. He's finally able to speak, and out of his mouth comes this resounding praise and blessing to God. Now remember how Zechariah got to this point. What were the events leading up to this song? Zechariah was offering incense in the holy place when Gabriel came to him and tells him, you and Elizabeth, your wife, you're going to have a son. Now, first of all, we can't overlook the fact that Luke 1, verse 9, Zechariah is in the holy place in the temple burning incense. Now, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Zechariah. Basically, the lot has been drawn for his turn to offer incense right in front of the Holy of Holies, in the holy place, in that moment, because the Holy of Holies is where God's presence is. And in that moment, he is closer to the presence of God than any other person. Everybody else is outside praying, and he's closer to the presence of God in that moment, closer than he'd ever be in his entire life as he's offering incense. And Gabriel appears to him, and just like a typical appearance from an angel, the first thing they say is, don't be afraid. And then he gives them this good news. And what is Zechariah's response? Well, how am I going to know for sure? How am I going to know that what you say is true? How? I mean, I'm old, and my wife she's old too, she's advanced in years. How can I be sure of this? You're joking, right? I'm old, my wife's old, how are we going to have a kid? And it's basically a repeat of Sarah laughing with Isaac. Well, Gabriel isn't laughing. He responds by saying, I'm Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent here to bring you this good news. And now you're going to be quiet. You're going to be silent. You're not going to be able to talk until the day these things that I just told you are fulfilled. Now, losing your voice, as you know, is not fun. especially if you have exciting news. And this wasn't just for a day or two. This was for 9 months. Zechariah is the first one to hear the great news of the coming Messiah, but because of his unbelief, he can't share it for 9 months. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody or a discussion with somebody and afterwards you replay that conversation in your mind and you're rethinking what you said and, you know, well, I really should have said this or maybe I shouldn't have said anything. You replay that conversation in your mind. Now imagine 9 months to think about what you said. Like Zechariah doubting God and spending the next 9 months in silence, no talking. And apparently he couldn't hear either because they had to gesture to him about John's name. So he may have been deaf as well. That's a lot of time to think. Boys and girls, can you imagine being quiet for that long? For 9 months. If you started now, you would be quiet, unable to speak until September 13 next year. That's after school starts next year. That's a long time. And the point, and they didn't have texting back then, and the point is that Zechariah has time to think. God is teaching Zechariah to trust his promises, to believe him when he says something is going to happen. After all this time to think about what he should have said, the moment finally comes. John is born. But Zechariah still doesn't have a voice. They're still gesturing him. It's been 8 days since Elizabeth had the child, and Zechariah is still not talking. Remember what Gabriel told him. You and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. You are to give him the name John. And now you're going to be silent, unable to speak until the day this happens. So it's not just the fact that Elizabeth is giving birth, but it's also naming this child John. You're unable to talk until this comes to pass, until this happens. Until the angel's promise, what Gabriel said, comes true. Because only then did Zechariah fully believe. And so in faithful obedience to the instruction of the angel of the Lord, Zechariah names his son John. Now, in our ESV versions, they do a pretty good job of translating from the Greek. His name is John. Very straightforward. That's what he wrote. But in Greek, John comes first. It's very blunt. It's very straightforward. John is his name. Not should be, not will be, but is. And in that moment, we see Zechariah's firm belief. His name is John. Rather than that shaky unbelief we saw earlier, how can I be sure of this? It's a statement of confidence in what the Lord has spoken. A statement of belief. Now what about us? Here is Zechariah, a priest, going from doubting and unbelief to faith, confidence, and assurance. Are there times in your own lives when you wonder or question what God is doing? Do you ever have moments of doubting or questioning God? That diagnosis from the doctor, or our work or job? Our relationships, our assurance. How does God in those moments bring us back to faith, back to that confidence in Him? Because He uses the circumstances in our life to bring us to the point of realizing our need for Him, bringing us to the point of trusting what He says again. And the normal way that He brings about this faith and strengthens this faith is through the reading and the preaching of His Word. He answers our need with the gospel, the good news that Zechariah is finally able to talk about here. The good news of salvation in Christ alone. The light has dawned. The sun is rising. It's coming up on the darkness of our own doubts and questioning. Zechariah's faith is expressed through his actions. He's had 9 months to think about it. The message the angel gave him, to think about the Old Testament and the stories and the prophecies and the promises and how they're all being fulfilled in this moment. To think about his first words once he gets his voice back. And he responds in faithful obedience. Once his voice comes back, the first words that he speaks are words of praise. And that's our second point this morning. He has redeemed his people. Zechariah's had a long time to think about what these first words are going to be, what he should have said the first time. He's had 9 months to think about what he should have said, and now he gets his voice back, and what he says in his song, verses 68 through 79, it's absolutely amazing. Here's a guy who didn't believe what God was doing 9 months ago, and now his song is a resounding declaration of all that God has done and all that God is going to do. There are at least 33 quotes in Zechariah's song from the Old Testament. It's a summary of the entire Old Testament, remembering all that God has done. Finally, Zechariah is responding like a priest. And his song is an overview of God's redemptive work throughout all of history. It's as if he starts at the present time and he starts working backwards. He works back praising God for the great things that he has done. He goes back, God's prophesying and then keeping his promises to David. So you've got King David, God's promises to David that his throne would last forever. You got 2 Samuel 1, I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Isaiah repeats that promise as he prophesies about the coming Messiah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom forever. And now Zechariah is praising God for that redemption, for redeeming his people, for keeping his promise. He looks back over hundreds of years of history and sees and explains and sings about how God has kept his promises time and time again right up to the present moment. Look at verse 68. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. So he's tracing the present moment in God's work all the way from David through the prophets to the coming of Jesus Christ. And that in and of itself is impressive enough. More than a reason to bless and praise the Lord, to bless his name. But then it's as if this priest takes it to the next gear by showing that God has redeemed his people, and he's drawing our attention even further back. This time he brings us all the way back to Exodus. Verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. God's people have always had enemies. Nothing new under the sun. Zechariah might be referring to the Egyptians and the slavery that God delivered his people from there. He might be talking about the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the exile. But in singing of all that God has done, he is singing about God's redemption, his salvation of his people. And then he takes it to another gear by bringing us back even further. This time he's bringing us all the way back to Genesis. He mentions Abraham to show the mercy. This is verse 72, 73. To show the mercy promised to our forefathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us. Here's that oath sworn to Abraham, that covenant, all the way back in Genesis. You can think of the story of God calling Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. Genesis 22, verse 16, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sands on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Listen to the words that God is telling Abraham in that moment. Because you have not withheld your son, your only son. And now God is doing exactly that in sending his one and only son as a sacrifice for sin, to accomplish the redemption that Zechariah is singing about. I will bless you, make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. And this promise of uncountable descendants is fulfilled in Christ. By faith, we are all children of Abraham. I will be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Now this is mind-blowing. All of the major events of redemptive history, each story of God making his promise to redeem and save his people is pulled together in Zechariah's song as he looks back throughout all of the Old Testament. Zechariah's song is a song of salvation from Abraham to the Exodus to David's kingdom. And everything that God has promised, all that he has done, and how it's all pointing to and being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But Zechariah is not done singing yet. He goes on, third and finally, to the sunrise shall visit us. Earlier we sang, hail the Son of Righteousness, risen with healing in his wings. The second part of Zechariah's song looks forward to what God is going to do. And this work begins with Zechariah's son, John, who's only 8 days old at this point. 76. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. The voice of one calling in the desert, Isaiah says, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight paths in the wilderness, a highway for our God. Here we have all of these events of all of the Old Testament prophecies, all of these events of redemption, all funneling together to this one point that John the Baptist is now preparing the way for Christ. It's being condensed to this single moment, this single event of Jesus coming into the world. Zechariah now finally gets it. He now finally realizes, after 9 months of thinking about it, what God is doing. He saw how all of the strands of God working out the redemption of his people come together in Christ, from David to Abraham to Egypt to Moses, and now he sees how his son John is part of the strand of redemption running throughout all of history. It's the moment right before the sun comes up. The horizon is getting brighter. The light is coming. The sun is coming up. Verse 78, because of the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high or from heaven, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. The angel came to Zechariah and Elizabeth. You're going to have a son. Next, the angel came to Mary. You're going to have a son. Now Elizabeth has given birth to a son. We have John the Baptist's birth, and this sets the stage. The culmination of God's plan from all eternity is about to happen. The sun's about to rise. The Son of Righteousness is almost here. Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, has dawned for us as well. The sun has risen from darkness to light. The light is shining in the darkness. And like Zechariah, realize through faith that you are also part of this amazing story of redemption, of God saving His people. This story that Zechariah is singing about is your story as well, when you place your faith in Jesus Christ. Here we have Zechariah's song of praise and hope and blessedness for the first coming of the Messiah, for the first coming of Jesus Christ. And today, we know what this longing and this excitement and this anticipation feels like as we wait for Christ to come back the second time, for His return. Instead of always winter, never Christmas. Instead of always darkness and never light, we have hope. Not only because of Christ's first coming, but we also have hope because of His return. Because He will come again. Zechariah's song in that way is our song. As we look back in faith, blessing and praising the Lord for the redemption that He has accomplished. And as we look forward in faith to the rising sun who will come to us from on high, from heaven. And as we sing this song, we're also praying, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, blessed are You, the God of Israel. For You have visited and redeemed Your people, and have raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of Your servant David. As You have spoken by the mouth of Your holy prophets of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy, the mercy You promised to our fathers, and to remember Your holy covenant, the oath You swore to Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve You without fear in holiness and righteousness before You all of our days. Lord, we thank You for the knowledge of our salvation, forgiveness of our sins because of Your tender mercy, whereby the sunrise, Jesus Christ, shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.